Pickaxe.
Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy? Aye?
You'll find out on DG247's podcast.
This looks boring.
What are you on about?
All of their games look boring.
You don't look boring. It looks like you're an assassin on the Isle of Man.
But it doesn't have the kind of wow.
The steampunk quail-based economy is incredible.
Yeah, it's boring.
VG247's Best Games Ever podcast is ostensibly a show about figuring out what the best game in a weirdly specific category is, but it's actually just about petty arguments. You should listen to it. It's good.
Is that it? That's the whole promo?
Yeah, I was just doing
And that's supposed to make people subscribe, is it?
Yes.
Okay, good luck with that.
You can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, and because gifted kids spend so much time trying to make other people happy, they just have no cognitive energy left to actually perform. You're trying to live up to your own expectations, trying to live up to their expectations, when all you need to be doing is like learning how a circuit works. Welcome. And today I think the topic is, what are you afraid of, right? Or what scares you?
Yes.
Since it's Halloween, we're going to be focusing on fear. And what do you go by, my friend?
Eleanor.
Eleanor? Okay, nice to meet you, yes. Eleanor. So what nice are you, what scares you? Or what makes you most afraid?
I generally call it in like two terms, but it's failure and disapproval.
Okay.
It's more on... It can come from others, that feeling of failure and disapproval, but sometimes it comes even from me. And I guess along the way, I've begun relating the two together, and it's so scary trying to monitor everything you say and do in fear of that.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit more about how the two have been combined recently?
So, to give a bit of context, I think it started back in high school. So, in a simple term, I've been called a gifted child. So, like, it's something that stuck to me ever since childhood and until it went. And I went to a specialized high school, I guess.
Wow.
And then that sort of thing, yeah, it spiraled up. And then along the way, I grew a bit arrogant, if I can call it that. I began like comparing, I think it's more of comparing myself to others to feel a sort of validation. So like, oh, you got over 100, you got, this person got a 93 and I got a 95, and like inside me I'm like, oh, I am higher. So like I sort of feel validated for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it went on for like 3 months, like that comparison thing. And then I didn't realize that others, including the people that I began comparing myself into, began being so annoyed and irritated with it, and they began talking behind my back about that. And
wait, so they were annoyed? They were annoyed that you would make comparisons?
Yes. Yeah, it's so, I think it's in a way they think it's sort of arrogant of me to compare myself to them.
And you would would compare yourself vocally to them?
Yes, I used to do that.
In high school?
In high school.
Okay.
And I think I was around, how old was I? I think I was 16. I think I was 16, or about to turn 16.
Okay.
We had, after a few months, I think 3 or 4 months, we had an intervention about that. They call it an open forum where everyone just goes up to a person and say whatever they want to say about that person. Like, may it be complaints or anything related to that. Mm-hmm. Anything they want to say to that person, they can say it. So, I went up there, like, they asked me to go up there, and they began vocalizing the things that I've been doing for the past few months. And I'm not gonna deny that I'm wrong. Like, deep inside, I know that I played a huge role in that. It was not good of me to vocalize what my scores are and all that.
Sure.
And then, yes, it spiraled into, oh my god, right now, what if I say something wrong and I do something wrong and it happened again? Since after that intervention, I began watching what I say, what I do, like every minuscule detail. I've been focusing on that, so like I don't offend them or anything.
And how many years ago was that?
Wait, so it's 2022 today. I think 3 years.
Okay.
Nearing 4 years since I'm in university right now. And after a few months of that, some of them came up to me during a forum again. It was a notes thing. Like, instead of speaking out loud, you give the person notes where they write things that they want to say to you but can't vocalize it. So, like, yeah, they gave me notes during that forum, and it was a subject-related thing. Like, you have to do that. You can't escape that. It's something mandatory for a specific subject. So, like, all the things that I've seen from previous classmates during that moment, they were like, you've changed so much, and I can barely recognize you or compare you towards the person that you were before, and I think that's a good thing. And so, and some of them even say, I hope it continues like this. And I understand that coming from them, it might be a good thing. Like, they were definitely observing the differences of like how I acted, but how I took what I took from it was like, so I have to keep on like watching what I say every minute of the day. Like, if I reply to them wrong, will they count it as disapproval? Will they started from that.
So it sounds tough because, like, okay, so you had a problem, quote unquote, right? And then you started acting very, very carefully, being very thoughtful about what you say, almost like a little bit paranoid, and want to make sure that you are very careful with what you say. And then everyone's like, hey, this is great, you know?
Yes, I guess.
And it sounds quite tiring to police yourself that way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you feel like you have to do?
Yes. I think that generalizes it, since until now, like even a simple message from even my closest friends, I would just say a simple greeting of hi, hello, good morning, and even that I would get so nervous, like did I use the right emojis? Did I write or did I type the correct things? Even greetings, I'm so scared of that.
Okay. And so where does the failure and disapproval come in?
I think it's more of an internal when it comes to the academics. I've mentioned before that I like the comparison thing that I've used to do. So instead of, I think since I've started university, that's where it came from, like comparing all, I don't have any good study habits. That's what I'm going to start with. I'm the type of person that I would study the same day and I would pass. So that's how it started. And it turned into like, now I'm in college. So, and everyone's viewing me like, you can do this specific thing since you came from this specific school. And right now, all I'm trying to do is not fail, even though I failed 2 subjects already, and that's like, I'm just in my second year. And yeah.
It sounds tough to try to not, I mean, so it sounds like you're not really focused on learning, you're not really focused on succeeding or anything like that, you're just trying not to fail.
Yes, I think that too, since I'm a scholar, so I need to pass, actually. I can't afford to fail.
Okay. So stakes are high, too. So it's not just about ego or expectations. Yeah. Sounds like there's a real financial reason to I mean, because it sounds like if your grades aren't good, then you're not going to be able to go to school anymore.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and when you say disapproval, whose disapproval are you worried about?
Myself, my parents, and even, I think it generally encompasses my family members and some of my, from my friends, it's not really disapproval. It's more like disappointment that since, what if they ask me for help and it's something I cannot help them with? Especially in subjects that they or other people have heard that I'm good at.
I see. So it sounds like there's this... Okay, so let me understand this. See if I get this, Eleanor. So what I'm getting is that there are two Eleanors out there. One is this image that other people have of gifted child, went to a fancy school, things are easy for her. Since she's accomplished so much and went to the school, like, she should be able to handle this. And friends should, like, oh, like, Eleanor's good at math or good at whatever. So, like, if you're good at math or science or chemistry or whatever, then if people come to you for help, you should be able to help them.
Yes, basically, that's it.
And then there's this other Eleanor who's struggling, hasn't developed good study habits. Is kind of like struggling not to fail, but heading towards failure.
Yep.
And those seem like two very different people.
They are.
Which one's the real you?
I genuinely can't answer that, but I think it's leaning more on the latter, actually.
The failure is the real you, right?
Yes.
And that sounds really scary. Like, you've already failed two classes. You don't know how to study. And if you lose your scholarship, like, then who will you be?
I don't know who I will be after that.
Right? You certainly won't be that first person anymore. Yeah. So, Eleanor, I think it sounds... This sounds very scary because what I'm getting as I listen to you, it almost feels like, I mean, maybe I'm coming on too strong here, but it feels a little bit inevitable to me that, I'm not saying this is true, but what it feels like as I hear your story is like almost like despair. Like I've already failed two classes and I don't know if I can turn this boat around and save myself before it's too late.
Wait, for a bit of context, I'm actually in an engineering program and I'm shifting to another engineering program that I actually like. The two subjects that I failed were in my previous one, and I'm hoping that maybe it will change once I actually started doing what I like.
Okay. I think that's a good step in the right direction. So, Eleanor, I don't know if this kind of makes sense. Are you familiar with the term ego or ahamkar?
I think I've heard the word ego from previous classes in high school.
What's your understanding of what the ego is?
I'm so sorry. I can't remember it. All I can remember is that it has something to do with oneself.
Yeah. So the ego is kind of our opinion of ourselves. And so I don't know if this kind of makes sense, but I think the problem is that neither of the two Eleanors are actually real. They're both constructions of the mind. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's right in a way. Like, and I'm trying to think of it, and yeah.
And so help me understand. In what way does it feel right to you?
It's so you've mentioned that it's not the two sides are not really me. Did I understand it right?
Yeah.
So it's like I'm not the other person because the one that's like good grades. The one they ask for help since I think that's more of a mask more than anything, and it's built on expectations others have for me.
Yep.
And the latter one that's like the one that's failing is it's not really me, but more in a way that I'm trying my best to prevent that from happening. So I'm somewhere in the middle, but not really.
Yeah. So let me put it to you this way. Do you think the Eleanor who is a failure could exist if you did not have these expectations from the outside?
Without these expectations, I don't think I would have a concrete definition of what a failure would be.
Exactly. Right? So this is what I'm saying, is that both sides of those are actually like, they're based off of expectations. So it sounds like you had expectations of who you are, or other people placed expectations on you. And then almost as a response to that, like, it's kind of like, here's the real you, and people expected this. But out of any positive charge, like, we have to create, like, a negative charge. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So this is why, like, gifted kids struggle so much. Like, gifted kids feel like failures all the time. The gifted kids who are actually successful don't even view themselves as gifted kids. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So once you become
most gifted kids that people would call gifted are actually very hardworking individuals, is how I view them.
That's how you view them because they're different from you, right? Those are the successful ones. They're the hardworking ones. And what are you?
Yes.
If they're hardworking, what does that make you?
I would always call myself the lazy one.
Absolutely, right? So that's actually false too. So that is a comparison that your mind is making. Do you see that? In the same way that you used to compare, oh, I'm smarter because I got 100 and this person got a 93. Now you're looking at other people, you're making a comparison. This person is hardworking. They're a real gifted kid. But I'm a lazy gifted kid. Do you see how your mind is making that comparison?
Yes.
So this is kind of weird, but the ego makes comparisons. So if I have an identity of myself, if I say, Eleanor, I am smarter than you or stupider than you, both of those are a comparison. It's a sense of identity that is not established by me. It's established by a comparison. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
So even if you look at people who are arrogant or egotistical, they can't be arrogant or egotistical without making a comparison to someone else. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. I'm envisioning it right now, actually.
Right? And so this is the key thing. So feeling like you're arrogant or feeling like you're a failure are both determined by your relationship with the outside world.
Yes, yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
What are you
affected?
Yeah.
It's affected by external factors.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you something. When you decided to switch engineering majors, was the desire to switch coming from some kind of expectation from the outside or some kind of like desire from the inside?
I can say it's a mix of both, but desire is the thing that comes out of on top of those.
Okay, very good. Right, so there's certainly an element to it that comes from the outside, and that the other interesting thing is, like, so if for let's just look at that. So what part of your desire to switch comes from the outside? Why did you, like, if that kind of makes sense, if that question makes sense?
It's a family thing. They want me to take an engineering major, but I did not get into that university with that specific major. So I have to pick something that relates to engineering that they might approve of. And I did not like that. So after a year, I realized that I can't do this. So I am going to do what I like, even though I've heard that it's so difficult. Even it's as difficult as the one that I'm taking. So I went ahead and planned everything, since at least if I'm suffering, I'm suffering in something that I like, if that makes sense.
Oh, so hold on. Let me understand this. So you're picking a harder major?
It's what they categorize it as harder. Every
they
major
categorize
is hard if you
it,
think
right?
about it. Yes.
But hold on a second, Eleanor. Aren't you like, so here you are, a lazy gifted kid who's already failed two classes. You're on a scholarship. And you're picking a harder major? Like, oh my god, that doesn't sound like a good idea.
When you think about it, it does not.
So, what are you doing there?
One thing that I actually noticed was, since I started studying for the subjects of this major I'm searching at, I actually like studying these subjects compared to my previous ones. In my previous ones, I would just go, do I have to do this again? Like, I have
Excellent.
To study this again.
So. Yeah, keep going.
So, wait, I'll reveal my previous... Is it already to reveal the major that I'm taking right now?
If you want to.
Okay, I currently am taking an electrical engineering major subjects, and I'm switching to a chemical engineering major. So like whenever I see circuits, I would just go, is this what I'm going to do for the rest of my life? I would go stare at circuits. Like, I would connect wires, compute voltages, currents, and all that. And it does not make me feel like, I want to graduate.
Okay.
It makes me feel like, if I think about it, I see no future where,
okay,
with that major.
So let's pause for a second. I understand you've got more to say, but I don't want to miss a couple of these statements. So here's an idea. Maybe if you're in a major where it makes you feel like you don't want to graduate, and
yes,
if you are in a major that you see no future in, maybe that has something to do with why you're failing, right? And I know you recognize
yes.
that. So I think the rest
yes.
of it, like whatever else you've got to say, is actually sort of like, you've already said
connected.
The most important things. So my point is, like, let's just think through this for a second, okay? So here you are afraid of disapproval, afraid of failing. And there's kind of this Eleanor who's like this gifted kid, and now you're not sure if you can kind of live up to those expectations. All of those expectations come from the outside. They don't actually come from in here. And so you're afraid.
Yes.
That you're not going to be able to live up to them, and your family's like, go be an electrical engineer because they make good money and they have good jobs and things like that, right? They're like,
that's what they said.
Yeah.
Like, you touched all
and,
the
and,
topic.
And you're gifted, right? Eleanor, you're not, like if you were stupid, then you couldn't learn electrical engineering. But since you're gifted, you know, like you're
yes.
smart enough to be a brilliant electrical engineer, you can invent a computer chip, you can make so much money, you can do quantum computing. There's all these kinds of things. And so even the part of you that's afraid of disappointing people, the part of you that's kind of like afraid of being a failure, but that's like disappointing other people and then being sort of being a failure yourself, but that's even the failure yourself is you don't want to disappoint people, right? So it's their disappointment and then your disappointment with yourself for disappointing them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes,
so
it's connected.
It's actually has nothing to do with you. Even your disappointment is like in disappointing other people. You with me?
Yes.
So all that is not you. And here's why I think it's good. I'm hopeful that you'll switch to your chemical engineering, because as long as you're living your life for other people, like, you know, disappointing people hurts, but it doesn't hurt as much as calculating voltages and looking at circuits. Right?
Actually, that's what I've said. I just went, like, after doing a subject, after doing exams for that specific subject, I just went, like, I can't do this. I cannot do this. So after I saw my parents, I just went, Mom, I'm switching to chemical engineering. I cannot do this anymore.
Yeah, so Eleanor, let me explain something to you. I've seen this a ton of times. So some gifted kids live a life to avoid disappointing other people. And if you're living a life to avoid disappointing other people, you're living a life to avoid pain. You with me?
Yes.
And if you live a life to avoid pain, what you end up signing up for is almost certainly more painful than the disappointment. So it's like you have a choice between studying electrical engineering, hating looking at circuits for like 30 hours a week, and then you go get a job as an electrical engineer, and then you hate your job for 50 hours a week for 40 years. That amount of pain is so great that you will never succeed in that field, because your whole strategy is to avoid pain. That's why you're majoring in electrical engineering in the first place. To avoid the pain of disappointing other people. Right?
Yes.
And so, like, you can't live a life where your strategy is to avoid pain. Like, it's not going to work. You're never going to become successful or live up to your potential using that strategy. You're trying to pick the least bad scenario. And that's like, you're not going to become your best self that way. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, I understand it.
So I think all of that crap about, like, there's two Eleanors, that's actually the same Eleanor, and neither one is you. What you really are is, like, if you like chemical engineering, then do chemical engineering. And, like, I don't know how to say this, but the way to make people proud is actually by, like, living your best life, right? Because you're going to do, you can do electrical engineering and you may have the IQ to do it, but you're not going to make your parents proud by doing something that is painful day in and day out for, like, 40 years of your life. You're probably going to make your parents proud by doing something that you like, giving it 100%, and then excelling in that field.
Okay, that makes sense.
The last thing that I'm going to share with you is that I do think you have some growing to do, especially when it comes to study habits, right? So I'm glad that you recognize, I don't think you're lazy. I think you just never needed to learn how to study. And that can be, and it's good that you picked a field that is very, like, enjoyable to you, because that helps some. But chances are, if you really want to excel, like, you're going to have to learn how to study. What do you think about that?
Yes, I definitely need to, like, do time management well and handle my subjects in a way that I just look at them and feel overwhelmed, so I never start anything. I'm at that pace.
Okay. So that's that. So, like, when you say handle your time management well, how?
So I've started like right now during the semester, I've started like making table. So for this specific day, I still do online classes, by the way. I don't have any like in campus classes. So for this specific day, I'm gonna finish this topic, this lecture, and in a few days I will take the quiz. But like on this day, I have to finish it and then understand. So for the next day, I'm gonna do this subject, and I think it's working pretty well. It's not all, I don't always follow it, but I mostly follow it.
Okay. And when you say it's working pretty well, what does that mean?
Ever since I started doing that, I don't feel as overwhelmed as I was before.
Okay. So let's do a little bit of quick teaching. Okay. That's fantastic. I'm really happy to hear that. So you're doing great, Eleanor, because you figured out a couple of things that will help you break away from the curse of being a gifted kid. So we're going to talk about the curse of being a gifted kid. So the curse of being a gifted kid is knowing what you need to do and always in your mind thinking about the what. I need to be more disciplined. I need to wake up on time. I need to get better at time management. It's always about what you need to do. Goals, 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 goals. But what you're actually, what the gifted kids miss is the how. They don't. They never think about the how. They don't think about scheduling and breaking things up and like to-do lists. And like they don't focus on the how. They always look at the goal of what they need to accomplish. Does that make sense? So you're already doing great there.
Yes, yes.
The second thing is that gifted kids get really easily overwhelmed because they are used to being able to fit everything in their head. So like when you're growing, like when you're like 15 and you've got 5 subjects or 7 subjects to study, you actually don't need to schedule anything because in your mind, you can hold all the things that you have to do. Does that kind of make sense? Like you can handle it when you're 15. But as you get older, you can't hold, there's too much stuff to hold in your head and you try to hold it in your head and then you end up getting overwhelmed because it's too much to hold. Right. So there's like, there are kids that are average IQ that have too much to carry. So they go and they get a backpack and they learn how to use a backpack when they're like 13. But what some of us do when we're gifted kids is we can hold a lot of stuff. We've got really huge hands. So we never need a backpack. And then we're like holding more and more and more stuff. And then we start to feel overwhelmed and our brain can't break apart or manage the tasks anymore. So I think it's really great that you're doing scheduling and that it's working for you. There's one last thing that I want to share with you, which is some interesting research. So a group of researchers tried to figure out what kinds of thoughts. So if you take kids who have good grades, kids who have medium grades, and kids who have bad grades, and they tried to figure out what kind of thoughts are in this person's head. So the first thing that they looked at is they saw a bunch of kids who had this kind of thought. I want to get an A. And that did not correlate very strongly with getting an A. So if a kid is thinking all the time, I want to get an A, I want to get an A, I want to get an A, they don't actually study very much and they don't get very good grades. You with me so far?
Yes, yes.
Then they looked at another group of kids who I need to get an A. It was very important for them. It's not something that they want. It's not a desire. It's a need. I need to get an A because I need to bring my GPA up so I don't lose my scholarship. Does that make sense? Like, do you understand that kind of thinking and how it's different from the first one?
Yes. It's a need, not a want.
Yeah. And do you think that leads to higher grades, the same grades, or lower grades?
Higher?
Yeah, that's what one would think, but actually leads to the same grades. Is not any better. Okay? Absolutely the same. Okay. So then they looked at the third group of kids. They asked the kids, okay, for the kids who actually get A's, what's in your head? And it's really interesting. The kids who get A's, in their head, they don't think about what they want. They don't want an A. They don't need an A. What they think about is, I'm going to go to the library Wednesday at 3 p.m. and study for an hour. They actually don't care about the goal. They focus on the how. So there's like data on this that you can look at kids who get good grades and they don't think about what they want or what they need. They just, not just, but the strongest variable that correlates with good grades is actually like being very specific with scheduling. I'm going to go to the library Wednesday at 3 p.m. and I'm going to study chemistry. Thursday at 4 p.m., it's going to be physics. Friday morning at 10 a.m. is going to be review for my chemistry test on Friday afternoon.
Okay. Yep. I understand.
So this is what's so tricky is once we're like a gifted kid, we develop this like ego or this idea, right? Like, oh, I got to be this. I have to live up to expectations. And then to think about this, your mind is so busy. Like every time you sit down to study, you can't even think about the studying. All you're thinking about is, I hate this. All you're thinking about is, if I hate this, how am I going to get an A? All you're thinking about is, if I hate this and I can't get an A, what am I going to tell my parents? I'm going to lose my scholarship. And then you sit down, you have a textbook in front of you, and for 1 hour, you're not actually doing any studying. You're not lazy. How do you feel at the end of that hour? You feel exhausted. You're just spending a bunch of energy doing stuff that isn't studying. Yes. And then people think I'm lazy.
I definitely do that.
Yep. And so the reason you're failing is not because you're stupid, not because you're lazy. It's because your mind is doing a lot of work that isn't schoolwork. And it's, you know, like, it's that simple. And so I think the more you can let go of what other people want, like, well, they can be disappointed in you if they want. Right? Because something else hopefully you'll learn at some point in your life is you can't make someone else happy.
Yep.
Right? It's kind of weird. Simple to say it. Hard to really realize. And the more that you kind of listen to what you want, and what I love about this more than anything, the reason I'm actually pretty hopeful for you is, like, because you're actually, you're scheduling this stuff out. And the more that you schedule, like, the better you're. You just show up, you do your work for the day. And is it, are you going to get an A, a B, or a C? Who the hell knows? But the kids who get A's are the ones who show up and do the work. And that's what we call disciplined. Right? Those are the hardworking people.
Yes.
And yes. Here you are scheduling tasks and actually doing them. Maybe you're more hardworking than you realize. Mm-hmm. Any last thoughts or questions before we wrap up?
I have no questions. I'm actually trying to digest everything.
Did
the
I
curse
talk
of the gifted kids. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The curse of the gifted kids is really something.
Yeah, it's really interesting what it does to people's mind. Right? And because gifted kids spend so much time trying to make other people happy, they just have no cognitive energy left to actually perform. You're trying to live up to your own expectations, trying to live up to their expectations, when all you need to be doing is, like, learning how a circuit works.
Yes.
Right, but you're doing so much other stuff. So good luck to you, Eleanor.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling
in. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
If you found this video helpful, check out Dr. K's guide. We've spent hundreds of hours writing and filming to help people understand their mind so that they can build the lives that they want. So check out the link in the description below.